in his argument. In chapter 5, chapter 5 is Eliphaz, chapter 6, in verse 9, Job says that it would please God to crush me, that he would lose his hand and cut me off. Job wants to die. Job asks for death. Oh, if he put me like this, why don't he just kill me off? There are a lot of Jobs also today. And something happened, they forget all their good times. And when just a few bad things happen, they are... Do you know that the mentality of Job was also present in a time of the wilderness? After all the wonderful experiences of God, the Israelites saw the deliverance on the Red Sea, saw the 10 plagues, and as they cross over into the wonderful, on the way to the wonderful land of Canaan, while in the wilderness, as they walk and walk, and just for a moment, because they were thirsty and there was no water, they start complaining. Forgetting all the miracles God has done, He who has parted the Red Sea, they couldn't believe to provide water for them. He who has turned the waters of the Nile River into blood, they couldn't believe that He will provide the water for them. In a quick moment, they complain against God. They had a mentality. Every time trouble comes, something wrong comes out of their mouth. They curse somewhere. They either curse themselves, curse their situation, or curse the people around them. If not, cursing God. And some of those things you read about in the book of Numbers, the judgment of God came, and immediately after it came, the next moment there was an argument again. Like the plague and the plague that struck all the people and all those things that take place, we realize that after all those plagues, immediately they argue again. The earth opened up and swallowed some of the people, and immediately after that, still they went against God. They don't seem to comprehend that they could learn more than that. In chapter 6, Job wishes to die. In chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, Job loses hope. He says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good." He has given up. He has given up. He lost hope. In chapter 7 verse 16, Job hated his own life. "I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath." He hated his own life, which God created him for. In chapter 9, verse 17, with all his friends putting pressure on him, Job also getting worse in his situation. While he's arguing with his friends, imagine all his friends accusing him of wickedness and sin and iniquity and all the wrong things. And here he's suffering with his balls scraping all over the place and having to defend himself. Once in a while, he must have felt like throwing this one at them. In chapter 9, verse 17, he reached a point where he began to, quote-unquote, almost attack God, but not quite. Chapter 9, he says, "He crushes me with a tempest. He multiplies my wounds without a cause." Job is saying, these things happen without any reason. He implies it against God. Verse 21, "I am blameless." Wow. He now began to say, "I don't deserve this. I'm blameless. I didn't do anything wrong. Yet these things happen." Job is also getting irritated. And chapter 10 verse 1, "My soul loathes my life. I will give recourse to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." getting worse. Job is now a little bit bitter and disappointed and angry at God. In chapter 10, verse 13, "Are these things you have hidden in your heart? I know that this was with you. If I sin, then you mock me and will not acquit me of my iniquity." Now look at Job chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. He implied that God was having all these things in God's heart, waiting to beat him the moment he do something wrong. It is like some Christians thinking that God the Father is a big man upstairs with a big stick. The moment you do something wrong, just waiting for the chance to cane you. With his cane already. And that was Job's mentality of God. In spite of his blamelessness. And we are amazed. We said, how can the Bible say that he was a blameless, righteous, godly man? Remember, righteousness has to do with freedom from immorality and obeying the law of God. Do you know that it's possible to obey the laws of God just by being frightened of the big man upstairs with the stick? But that's still not the full conception of God. It's a partial revelation of God. It's only a small part. God as a judge. And so it began to reveal Job's real spiritual understanding of God in this test that he was going through. Looking on at his speeches in chapter 16, verse 9. Chapter 16, verse 9. He says, "He tears me in his wrath and hates me." Wow. Getting worse. With the encouragement, of course, of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Job also getting worse. He now accuses God of being angry at him and hating him. My friends, whenever you are going through any suffering, remember this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, "Nor angel, no death, no tribulation, no suffering can separate you from the love of God." In Romans 8. If you understand this book, you'll realize where Job went wrong. His attitudes. And his understanding of God. He's saying, God tears at me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. In other words, the big man upstairs is looking now. Now his teeth. Just now talk about his stick. Now his gigi. His image of God. "My adversary sharpens his gaze on me." That means his eyes looking very sternly. That's the image of God that he had. And as he progresses on in chapter 19, in all his answers, verse 11, now getting worse. From bad to worse. Verse 11, "He has also kindled his wrath against me. He counts me as one of his enemies." Job has gone too far this time. He says, God made me his enemy. Oh, if only he had the New Testament revelation. If only he had Romans chapter 8 that we all have, that Paul says. In Romans 8 verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Verse 38, "I am persuaded," look at what Paul says. Paul was different from Job. Now Paul went through a lot of suffering, even as bad as Job. Remember what the sufferings of Paul are like. Paul mentioned to us in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he tells us in chapter 11, verse 24, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. That is 5 times 39. After all that beating, he looks like a tiger. stripes all over, scars all over. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I tell you, one stoning is enough to alter your countenance. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I had been in the deep, floating in the ocean somewhere, soaked in salt water. Verse 26, in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles. Now he has his own Eliphaz and Zophar and Bildad. In perils in a city, in perils in a wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Those are false friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Verse 27. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. But do you know the difference? The Apostle Paul declared in Romans 8, verse 38. He never said God was his enemy. He never said God was the one causing all his problems. Because in the New Testament, he knew it was the devil. He knew it was the enemy. He knew it was the devil using people. Never once did God say that you, did Paul say, God, you did it. At the most, he only said, you allow it for your reasons. But Paul, at all times, never reached that distress that Job reached. Instead, Paul said, through all these things, in verse 38 and 39 of Romans 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. When the apostles were beaten, remember that? When they were beaten, do you know how they went out from the Sanhedrin council? They went out saying, thank you God for letting us suffer for Jesus. What a different Christianity they were compared to our modern Christianity. Just because your paycheck was delayed, you say, God, what's wrong with you? And just because you missed the bus, your car broke down on the jungle somewhere with a lot of gorillas around you, you're saying, God, why do you do this? A lot of Christians are still Old Testament jokes. Their spirit has been born again, but their mind has not been born again. They have a born again heart and a mind that is not born again. Their thinking and their attitudes are still like the Old Testament Job. Well, that passage where we have in the book of Acts where the apostles were rejoicing, you find it in the book of Acts in chapter, looking over at the book of Acts in chapter 4, it says here, in verse 21, that when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them. When they were persecuted, in verse 23, they turned to God, 23, 24, they turned to God in prayer and asked for God's help in that manner.